Private Prissy Pants?
Sir, yes, sir. Lieutenant Hefty?
What are you doing on your iPod on guard duty?
I'm listening to the default setting, sir.
Default setting?
Sir, yes, sir. It's a podcast where Jess and Gigi discuss people's default setting and how it's affected them, sir.
Sounds like hippie liberal psychobabble to me, Private.
It's actually really good.
What are you doing on base?
I'm your 5 o'clock humiliation appointment.
I hired you for discretion.
Catch the default setting on the Above Below Entertainment Network.
This episode of Let the Hate Flow Through You is brought to you by Jess Falstick.
Hey, isn't that Jess Falstick?
Nah, that's Sailor Moon. That's Jess Falstick.
Nah, that's just a couch covered in cats.
Oh, well, where's Jess Falstick?
Guys, I'm literally right here.
No, Jess Falstick has blue hair.
No, Jess Falstick's hair looked like she'd be part of the alt-left, if that were a thing.
Didn't she shave her head?
Just come see me every Sunday night at Avenue Tap House at 7 p.m. for the Red Light Comedy Showcase. The first Sunday of the month is open mic, and the last three Sundays showcase Cleveland's best and brightest comedic talent.
You know who's the funniest female comic in Cleveland?
Who's that?
Mary Santora.
God damn it.
That's Jess Falstick.
Remember what I said about a half hour from now.
Burn it down.
That's okay. Yeah, well, you're taking...
Is that a glass of wine?
I think so.
Or is it a goblet?
It's a goblet.
All right, fair enough.
It's a literal goblet of fire because it's giving me heartburn.
All right. Welcome to Being 30.
Right? I know, dude. Salsa did the same shit earlier today. I was pissed.
No, I used to eat really spicy stuff, and I just can't anymore.
No, I've never been able to. I have, like, a Midwest palate. Like, mild is too much for me, yeah. You know?
That's, you know, Chelsea, she says she has a garbage palate, which she does.
Dude, I do, too. You, like, love rallies? Because that's where I'm at.
No, I do.
Okay, so like Arby's then. Wendy's, there we go. 4 for $4, man. That shit saves me on the road. I'll tell you that. That's two meals. Put that in the hotel fridge.
White Castle for life.
White Castle.
Yo, I've never had White Castle.
That's a shame. Do it next time you do a show in Columbus, make sure...
I'm there this weekend.
Make sure you get it on a Saturday, because if you work on a Monday, you're not going to want to be at work.
Okay.
Sunday,
can I have a day off?
Sunday's your toilet day.
My recoup day?
Yeah.
Wear a diaper. Be a woman up.
This is Nick Urich, and you're listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Jordano Diablo.
Let the hate flow!
Network. Welcome to Let the Hate Flow Through You, live at the Bop Stop in Cleveland, Ohio.
Woo! Yeah!
I'm Jeremy Shear.
El Jordano Diablo.
And this week, we're going to be taking a look at some of our peers, I guess, because you'll see once the topic gets us. Joining us this week is every single Cleveland publication's best female comedian ever, Mary Santora.
Hello. Hi. Thanks for sticking around, guys.
It's been a long time coming.
Yeah. Right, yeah. I reached out to him. I've listened to a few episodes, and I think I hit you up. I'm like, dude, you don't just ask boring podcast questions. Like,
no.
How'd you get started in stand-up? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
Mary, who's your favorite stand-up comedian?
What females inspire you? This. So when I listen to you guys, it's actually such an entertaining, like, thought in the whole original idea of it.
Well,
really
we'll
cool.
Just ask you, what males inspire you?
None. Yeah. Actually, we're talking. No,
good
I'm just kidding.
Answer.
Way
good
to win
answer.
Over the crowd.
I know, right?
So, Mary, why do you hate delusional people?
I hate delusional people. It's one of those things where I just can't wrap my head around people who are completely have no self-awareness. Mm. It drives me absolutely insane. It's one of those things that makes me more crazy than anything else.
But, all right, so to you, what defines a delusional person?
Okay, so, and this isn't just in stand-up. Like, this is, I bartend as well. It's like, there's this one dude that I work with, and there's no joke, he is the worst bartender I've ever met in my entire life.
Okay.
He's terrible. He can't remember drink recipes. He's always making shit wrong. He's always, like, he's
Do just, you work at, like, a drink bar, or, like, a beer and a shot bar, or
kind of,
like, across the board? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah, it's kind of like mixed drinks, regular beers, whatever. But he's slow and it's all this stuff. But then he will say comments like, this place would burn down without me. And I'm like, no, you're about to set it on fire. Like, this is, you are terrible at your job. And it's, I can't wrap my head around people who are so disconnected from what's actually happening. Which is, it blows my mind.
It's funny that you say that, because I used to be the door guy at the Happy Dog.
Okay.
And I was like the drunkest person there all the time.
Okay.
And at the end of the night when the bar closed, now granted this was like 8 years ago, mm-hmm. but we used, like you said about setting the bar on fire, like we used to play Sterno hockey.
I don't even know. Oh, Sterno hockey?
Yeah, jeez. We used to play Sterno hockey.
Those so if you don't know what Sterno is, it's like a little thing that you put under the like buffet foods that have like, the fire on them.
That keeps it warm.
Yeah.
And yeah,
it's not safe at all.
Yeah, well, the one time somebody pushed it a little too hard and it hit the edge of the bar and just fire went everywhere.
Oh
it
my
was
gosh,
because awesome.
They're filled with oil.
Yeah.
So if that gets
like,
out.
And like a thick
yeah.
gelatin oil.
It's gross.
And it smells disgusting uh-huh. too.
You get that on your hands, it's there for weeks, man.
Yeah, but watching just like fire spread across the bar. And if you've ever been to the Happy Dog, like all the walls are wood.
Yeah.
You know? So it was.
Give them
a
reason
fun.
To update.
Yeah,
the walls exactly. are wood and the stairs are icy.
Right?
Was that a reference in
yes.
to the owner?
Moving on.
Okay. All right. Well, no, me and him
got
never,
it, you either got it or you didn't.
Me and him never had a good relationship, so I was just making sure that it was you were making a death joke about that guy.
I was. But it's fine. Where you mentioned at the bars, where else are you running into delusional people?
Stand-up comedy.
Comedy every goddamn day. It's unbelievable. People who just think that I will watch a comic bomb for 5 straight minutes and they'll get off and be like, that's pretty good, right? I'm like, no, absolutely not. When did you feel at any point that you got a laugh or wrote a joke or anything? I can't stand that shit. It makes me, and here's the thing that I've listened to this podcast and I know it sparked things in whatever, including comedy community. But when you were like, pick a topic of something you really hate. And then when I start actually talking about it, I'm like, I'm going to start naming names. I don't give a shit. I'm so pissed. Like,
yeah.
It's one of those things.
No, we do that here.
It starts to get my heart racing. No, but
yeah.
it is one of those things where it's just like.
I got a Klonopin around.
Right. It's red wine's got to kick in soon here.
All right.
No, yeah, it's that or it's when people think that they should be moving up the ranks faster than they clearly are qualified to.
I like, just saw 10 people when you said that.
Right, when people are like, well, how'd you get that gig? I'm like, I haven't been doing it 1 year at only LVT. That's how I got this fucking gig. Like,
yeah,
it makes me absolutely insane because I just don't understand it. I'm almost overly self-aware and incredibly critical of myself, whereas like, I'll go up and have a decent set and I'm like, God damn it, and I'll get off and I'll like mm-hmm. take notes on what I didn't like or this or that, and then I can't fathom someone being like, oh yeah, man, I just crushed.
Well,
and I'm like,
I saw
no.
you crush one time at Dwayne Duke's show at the, what's it called now? I always call it the Spitfire. What's it called now?
Oh, Funhouse. That place sucks.
No, but I watched
oh,
you
my God.
Crush once and roast the fuck out of somebody in the audience. For
I did
like
not. First of all, I did not crush at that show. What happened was I bombed for about 6 straight minutes and then gave up on material.
Well, when we walked in and BJ can and she can say you had everybody in stitches because you were fucking roasting that motherfucker.
I was so tired of that idiot because I was legitimately, I did not get a laugh. And that dude was acknowledging the fact as if I didn't know. Like, hey, like I was one of those delusional fucks. He was
as
just,
if you don't hear.
Oh, right. I was at that show. That
yes.
show sucked.
Right, well, he was like, I would say something and he would be like, oh, that was funny. And I'd be like, oh, cool, man. And then I would ignore it and then I'd go on and he'd be like, write a better joke. And then that must have been when you guys walked in because I was like, I'm done with this. I'm not being polite. I'm not doing any more material. And I went in on him for like the last 3 minutes
and
of my
it was
set.
Great. It was great.
Yeah.
But I got smoked.
I ate a dick the first half of that, so I'm glad you missed it. It was not good.
You see, that's why sometimes you still have to try because they didn't know about the 6 minutes of dick sucking.
Right, I guess.
Well,
yeah.
I just thought because it was Dwayne's show, he was sucking the dicks.
Not on stage. No.
Pick a restroom and you'll find Dwayne.
Pick a restroom, post patio party, you know.
Yeah.
I did get, I got pepper sprayed at that show. They weren't doing it directly at me, but I was in the middle of some like white trash domestic violence thing happening. And the chick went to go pepper spray the dude and it got all over my arm and onto my face. And I have never experienced that before, but it was one of those things where I would, I understand
why.
Because
that
carry
happens
it
at the Foundry a lot, but not the Fun
It
House.
Was unbelievable. I was Mary, it was just water in my eyes. Sorry, go ahead.
You mean to tell me you've never been pepper sprayed?
Isn't that crazy?
I know.
You would think with the amount that I black out, I had definitely been pepper sprayed before. No. I've been in two
Me
fist
too,
fights.
But I don't think I have either.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So I get real loud and mouthy. I've been in two fist fights, and both of them were with my younger sister. So no, but I've never been pepper sprayed.
Man.
But off topic. Delusional yeah people make me crazy. Is
yeah,
what it
delusional
is
people. So you mention amongst the comics, do you find it's all younger comics that
no
are delusional?
There's people, no. There's no road dogs who've been doing it 25 years that have been doing the same set for 25 years that'll come off and be like, standing ovation, right? And I'm like, who stood up? Nobody stood up at all.
Yeah, they stood up to go to the fucking bathroom.
Unbelievable. Is or it, that's another level. There's so many levels of it with comedy because yes there's the level of like, why am I not headlining or why they get that gig? But then there's also the level of people who are consistently working that have had the same set for 30 years or 5 years or whatever it mm-hmm might be. They never
She's
write a new
you,
joke.
She's talking about you, Cher, for 30 years.
Yeah, right? They never yeah write a new joke, and it's just one of those things where like, I'm murdered. Right? I'm just like, I can't even, no, no. You talked about how men and women were different for 40 minutes. Like, I don't understand how that, yeah, I don't
Isn't
know.
Isn't that Bill Engvall's thing?
Probably, like, Bill Engvall. It's most middle-aged white dudes have been doing the road for 25 years. That's, yeah, yeah, that's yeah mainly what they're, being married sucks, right, guys? I'm like, get a fucking divorce. Why are you?
Yeah.
Or get a fucking job because
right
you suck at this.
Why do you have 20 minutes about this? Jesus.
Because, you know, you go out to the middle of nowhere, they want something safe. And who's going to be safe guy? The guy that's been doing the same, men are different than women and marriage is garbage, for 25 years because you know what he's going to do. And people are going to like it because they eat slop.
And, well, yeah. It is, their wives are slop. That's yeah what that is. They eat their wives. No, I'm just kidding. It's one of those things
No,
where,
you're not.
No, I'm not. I played a really small town last week, and I was like flirting with in Ohio,
oh, okay,
and I was flirting with what I thought was a very hot guy, and we were like, well, you know, having drinks and whatever, and it was like an hour away, so I had to drive home, so I wasn't gonna get crazy.
Right.
But he like followed me on Instagram, and then the next day I like went to go look at it, and I was like, there's no way this is the same person. I was like, no way in hell. And then I was like, oh, he's just the most attractive person in this town. Like that's what that was, which I'm sure there's probably a level of delusion there where he yeah thinks he's hot shit, but it's like, no, dude, your town has 200 people and you happen to have the good genes. Like,
and
that's
he also
all
has truck nuts.
Yeah.
Right. Well, oh, I'm sure of it.
It's like I live in Eastlake. I'm in Eastlake 9.
Right.
Did you say you're in Eastlake none?
I'm 9. 9 out of 10.
No, you're not.
I don't know that I've been to Eastlake.
Nobody goes to Eastlake. Aside
Is
from
it gross?
I mean, yeah, it's basically what I equate it to. Sorry, babe. It's the Parma of the East Side.
No,
dude,
it
every
isn't
place
yes
has
no
their Parma.
It isn't.
Every place
no
has their Parma. Don't even. Barberton's the Parma
there,
of Akron. I
there,
mean, it's just
there are not enough ethnics in Eastlake to make it Parma.
Okay, well, Polish people aren't ethnics, so don't
yes
count
they
that
are. Yes, they are.
No, Mary, he tells me I'm not white.
No,
what
look
are
at
you
me.
I was like, you're pretty white.
Yeah, I mean, know I'm fucking white.
The most white thing about you is you have black nail polish on right now. Thank that's you probably what
that's the most gothic thing about me.
Yeah, that's definitely the most white as well, though.
White,
like that's
white
only
people,
white people do that.
White people are middle class, white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. Those are white people. The rest of you are pretending.
Oh, I'm a Unitarian Jew, so I know everything.
Yes. I've been trying to tell you that for years.
I know, and it's just not sticking.
It's yeah not. It's not registering.
Maybe that's my delusion. Maybe I'm just living in a world where white people are being balkanized for my benefit.
Is that your delusion?
Yeah, that's my delusion.
And I'm not saying that I'm completely like not a
Everybody
has it about
yes
something
yes
or whatever
agreed
it might be. Like it's one of those things, but it's also like I guess with comedy is my big thing that I try so hard and I want to be so good and I want to make this like a thing that, you know, this is going to be my career
right
that is going to make the rest of my life easier. It's going to suck right now. And when I care about something so much and I see people who just don't give a fuck or they just like are like, yeah, I'm like, I'm pretty good. I can't believe I didn't win, blah, 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 or whatever
yeah
it is. And I'm just like, there's no way you actually think you're good.
Well, there's a certain level of self-delusion that you have to have in order to keep doing it.
Well, that's true, too. I mean, everyone's a little bit delusional when you get into this because you walk up and I'm like, I'm a 22-year-old white girl who's a cheerleader and you need to hear my opinion. Like, you know what I mean? Like, nobody actually cares about that shit.
I was going to say, nobody wants to hear that person.
That's who I was when I started.
Yeah.
I was a cheerleader at the University of Toledo, and the fact that I ever stuck with it blows my mind.
How long were you a cheerleader at Toledo? Was it like, did you do all 4 years? Okay.
I cheered for 14 years. I had no substance at all. And so, like, I know, here's the thing. Maybe this is where this stems from, is that I was that delusional piece of shit when I started.
Okay.
I was like, I started in Toledo. There were not that many comics to begin with.
Is that where you're from?
That's where I went to school. Okay. I started in college.
Okay. Right.
There weren't that many comics to begin with, and there was only like two or three females. Mm-hmm. So I was getting a lot of shows really quickly.
Right.
And so, like, I was winning contests and doing this and working the funny bone, like, right within the first year of doing comedy.
Right.
And then I moved back home to Cleveland, which compared to Toledo is a much bigger market. There's a lot more comics. There's a lot more diversity.
A lot more to do.
And what'd you say?
A lot more to do.
A lot more to do, a lot more mics. And then I was just bombing, like, day after day after day. Like, every single mic, I was just eating it. And I was like, what the hell is going on? I wasn't getting on showcases. And I was one of those people, like, why am I not getting on the showcase? Like, I did this, I did that, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, well, you're not showcasing well. You're going to open mic and you're bombing. Why would I put you on a paid showcase?
Right.
You know? So maybe that's where it stems from, is that I was that crazy bitch at the beginning who was like, I'm so good, you need to put me on everything.
Yeah,
and
in hindsight,
I was awful. I was terrible. I didn't have a job.
But you got past that. Like, you got better, and you got past that. Some people, they think they get past that, but they don't get better.
Right.
And that's where the delusion really sets
in. Some of the delusion will come in on amounts of time. I've been doing this 8 years. Well, have you? Have you been doing this 8 years? Have you been doing this 8 years once a week or once a month or, you know?
That's the thing that a lot of people... some of the guys that I've worked with down south, like, they've been doing comedy for 25 years, like you said, but they're getting 2 weeks a year
right.
for those 25 years. So they haven't really been doing it that long.
So really, you could do more shows than they do in a year and a month.
Yeah.
But they are like, I'm a 25-year headliner. And I'm like,
I'm trying to do the math on that. So it's like, all right, if you've been doing comedy 25 years, but you really only do it 2 weeks out of the year, that's what,
24
50
year,
weeks? That's not even a full year of...
No. One full year. I did 250 shows last year.
Yeah, okay. So that, yeah, if that's not, that's,
you did comedy
not
for
works.
1 year. Good job, dude.
Comedy math.
Do you think that's part of the reason that you counted sets like that was to, like, you have something on paper now that says no?
No, she's autistic, you idiot.
Dude, no, honestly, it was, I took 2016 basically off of stand-up. Oh, I was not around. I had just gotten engaged, so I was working two jobs. I was working like 60-plus hours a week trying to save up money for a wedding. So I was only doing comedy like once or twice a month. So then when I, like, that didn't work out, then I was like, you know what, I have to, like, full force get back into this.
Right.
And I can't tell you how many people gave me shit about counting sets. They're like, it doesn't matter how many sets you do. I was like, no, I need to know that I'm working towards this,
right.
if that makes sense. Because I maybe did, in all of 2016, I maybe was on stage 50 times, if that. And that's still not terrible.
No, it's not terrible.
But that's four times a month? That's once a week? Where are you going to get, you
no,
know,
you're
doing
not.
It once a week?
That's basically like, I'm just here to collect my check.
Or even not even that. You know what I mean? Like, if I wasn't... I'm fucking up this microphone. Even if I wasn't
too
doing
much
a
wine
page
for
show,
Mary.
I've had 1.5 glasses.
That's fine.
But I did
1.5 goblets.
1.5 goblets. But yeah.
One of your delusions is you think this is a glass of wine.
Oh, dude. I'll fuck up some wine. I don't think you understand.
One of my delusions is that I'm not an alcoholic.
Right.
Yeah, I mean...
I've had that.
You know, I function.
But do you ever, like, wake up in your car and be like, all right, maybe I'm the problem?
No,
like,
no,
you,
no. You see
that?
This scar on my arm?
What's
I'm
that
not allowed to drive anymore.
Oh, good for you, man. Yeah, that's good.
That's why I have a girlfriend.
For driving?
Yeah, she just drives
Save
me
on
around.
Uber.
She's an excellent driver.
I'm kidding. I love you.
Yeah.
So it's mainly in comedy, but it's delusional people in life, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, yeah, that could even be people who are like
parents.
Parents is a good one. That never even crossed my mind.
Parents.
But my mom, yeah, that's a good one.
And I'm a firm believer in, like, parents they do, I won't say they know best, but like they do have way more experience in life than you do.
But so that just comes from being older.
No, exactly. But they do have, in certain aspects, they do have more experience than you in some things. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't make them less delusional about other things.
Like, no.
Just because, yeah, mom, you got drunk and fucking got a DUI when you were 16. Doesn't equate to me being 27 and getting a DUI.
Right.
I knew what I was doing.
Right.
You're delusional.
Or even being like delusional in thinking you're a good parent or mm-hmm. a bad parent. Like it no, doesn't always have to
no,
be
No, good
shitty,
parent, you know? That's a fun one.
Like
that's
when people one. Are like, I'm the best mom. I mean, happy Mother's Day. This is a great fucking day yeah, to yeah. talk about that. But like when people are, you know, I'm a great mom, da, 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 and I'm like, no, you're not. I just saw you put your titties out at the bar. Yeah. Like, that's not, wait, you weren't feeding a baby. Like,
what'd your mom do?
No, it wasn't my mom. I'm saying in general. Or I'll meet, you know, people. I work in the service industry is a lot of single parents, and I give, both of my sisters are single moms, and it's one of those things that it's, I could never do it. It's mm-hmm. incredibly tough, and to raise a kid on your own and try to balance, like,
oh, no
being
shit.
A mom by yourself, and then working, and then still trying to have a social life, because you're in your 20s and 30s, you know what I mean? It's a lot. But I've definitely
but I do
sent
feel
some people.
Like there's a delusion on that. It's like, yeah, I'm in my 20s, and I still want to have a good time. Yeah, but you had a kid.
Exactly.
That fucking changes
exactly.
things.
But that doesn't change the fact that you're a human being.
Agreed.
And you need a release.
Agreed.
And you need, be it once a week.
Just don't
or whatever
drown your
it might
kid.
Be.
Just don't
drown,
drown your kid.
Don't drown the kid.
Don't drown your
kid. Maybe if you get 1 week a night, or 1 week, one night
one,
a week
one
out, then you won't drown the kids.
Yeah. And then, you know? And that's fair.
I've watched my nieces and nephews for 2 days straight. I'm like, I get it. I yeah. want to lock the door and walk out, and whatever happens in that tub happens. I don't care.
Yeah.
Did
it's
I leave matches in the room?
There's no matches. I might have left the straightener plugged in, but their little arms can't reach it, I think. Like, you know, like, it's, it's one of those.
Absolutely.
I don't know, man. The more I sit here and think about it, the more mad I get about just be self-aware. That's
well, I mean,
all I want out of people is just to know where you stand.
I've been going through this. I recently just had like a family tragedy happen. So like the family has all been around each other.
Oh, that's
recently.
Always great. Mm-hmm. Emotions are high,
yeah.
and you have to see your cousin you can't stand. That's
but
good.
It's like, all right. So I'm the oldest of four. It goes me, my sister Riley, who's 6 years
my niece's
younger.
Name is Riley.
All right.
Sorry.
Well,
sorry
I mean,
interrupt.
That's a name. and,
don't you love when people give you bullshit information like that? And like, oh, I have a couch too. You're like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with that? All right. I apologize. That was on me. That was on
no,
me.
No,
I'll take that.
It's all good.
right. So self-aware.
I mean, you're not delusional. You do have a couch. That's fucking great.
Right.
So you have like me, my sister who's 6 years younger than me, and then my mom and dad for they're both delusional. So they had twins at 40.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was real fucked up. And so we've all been together recently, and I like hear my mom like as a kid, I was not allowed to miss school. Like,
mm-hmm.
I had to be dying or going to the emergency room to be, like, for my mom to be like, okay, you can stay home.
Right.
Not go to the emergency room, you can stay home.
Right.
And, like, my little brother and sister, like, they've both missed, like, and they're coming to the end of the school year, so it doesn't matter, but they've both missed over 30 days this year. I don't think in my entire...
That's nothing.
Dude,
I've missed 90 days in a school year.
That's half
that
the year.
That doesn't surprise anybody who knows you at all.
That's half the year.
Yeah, well...
You didn't move on.
I had a tummy ache.
And didn't you graduate?
No, I dropped out.
Okay, all right.
Ah,
yeah,
there
well,
we go.
Made, all right, so... But with my with that, like we were the whole family was around and everything, like aunts, uncles, and my mom, like one of the least self-aware people of all time, was self-aware for a minute. I was like, how the fuck do you let them miss this many days of school a year? And like when I had mono, you tried to make me go to school.
Right.
And she was like, well, you know, things change. And as a parent, she goes, and if I could have done things different with you.
No, that's not it at all. She's 40 and she doesn't give a fuck
no,
anymore. Like that's exactly what
that's
it is.
What I tried to explain to her. I was
when
like,
you've
no.
had kids and now you're older and you're like, you know what, just stay home. I don't
if
give
they
a shit.
Stay
home.
Just stay in your room, play video games. But like I sit there and I'm just like, I had fucking mono and you didn't believe me.
Right.
We had to go to the doctor.
If I was your dad, I wouldn't believe you had mono either. Who'd you kiss?
Like my dad would have cared. It would have been my mom. It would have been like, who'd you kiss? Oh, my God.
That's so funny,
it
would have
been the worst thing in the world. But, however, like, I'm sitting there, and I'm talking to them about it, and I'm just like, how do you justify that? And she goes, well, if I could have done things differently with you. Well, I'm sure you would have done look at me. You would have done a lot more differently with me given the choice, Mom. You're a delusional fuck. But I love her. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day. I'm wondering how many more times that tag's going to come along with this.
My mom's dead, so I
won't.
Hey,
Happy Mother's Day. There you go. It's also like when I say to this, I just want people to be self-aware. I just want you to just understand where you're at, whether it be at a job. Like, hey, no, you're not the best employee here. You're not the worst or whatever it might be. But I think that also sometimes being too self-aware leads to being really, really critical and can make you kind of neurotic.
Yes, it does.
Which
make
is
you
is
very
like
neurotic.
The that's other me. Side of it, and that's me too. I'm that's the exact me. Same way with comedy. I just. Brian Kenny and I just co-headlined the Funny Stop in Cuyahoga Falls. And if anybody knows who Brian Kenny is, he is a monster on stage. The dude is so goddamn good. So even just to be like, okay, if we're put on the same level, that's awesome. I must be decent enough to be put at the same level as this guy. And the Friday late show, there was like 200 people there. The Funny Stop only holds like 250. So yeah. It's pretty close to sold out. And we were flip-flopping who went last every show. So this just so happened to be a show that I closed. And he has a story that he's been working on. He calls it the poop story. He's been working on it for legitimately 5 years, and I describe this bit as unfollowable. Like, it just lights.
Race?
Yeah, he talks about, but it's what it is it's like almost like 8 different bits that he's been perfecting that he put into one story, and
it's my
just
favorite thing I've watched.
It's incredible. It is unbelievable, and so he closed with that, and I'm just watching him do everything short of physically light the room on fire. And I'm just like, there's no way I'm gonna be able to go up here and do this. And I didn't. I went up and I did not get my first, like, I had a couple chuckles, but I can't even lie to you guys when I say people were fanning themselves. They were laughing. A lady had her hand on her face, like holding her cheeks. People were crying. And Brian came off and I was like, fuck you, dude. Yeah. Like, that was, but it was like 6 minutes before I got my big laugh. And then, so that sucks, being up there like, oh shit, it took that long. But then by the end of the set, it was fine. But it was one of those.
How long did the MC do in between?
Zero minutes.
Oh, Jesus.
But that's okay. That's fine. He's a newer dude, and he did very well throughout the weekend, so that's not something I would ever hold against him. But it was one of those things when I got off stage, even though I did 40 minutes, but my first 5 were shitty. So I was so upset about the entire set, and I was so in my head about it, I could barely talk to people after the show because I was so fucked up that, like, I should be better than this. I should be able to follow him. This is ridiculous. What did I do wrong? Da, 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 da. When really, it's just, that bit is just that good. Yeah. It doesn't matter who you are. You're not going to be able to follow it, you know? Yeah. So I think that being on the opposite end of it, being, I don't know if self-aware, but being overcritical.
Hypercritical
would be the thing that would probably be just as bad.
I'm the same way. I just did a recording a couple weeks ago, and all I'm thinking about is the bits that missed.
You could have killed for 39 of the 45 minutes, or 42 of the 45 minutes.
Yeah,
but those 3 minutes are the ones where you're like, God damn it, dude.
The last time I did stand up was almost a year ago, and it was here. And I like the joke I tell that crushes the most. I told here, and I literally didn't realize it on stage until I went back and watched it. I was crushing the entire time, and I was like, why didn't that one joke that I know kills kill?
Mm-hmm.
And I went, I missed the fucking punchline.
Oh, dumbass.
I know, right? And I was just like, God fucking damn it. And I'm like sitting there, and it was like, I was waiting for the laughs. So I was like,
you're looking
here
around.
It is.
You're like,
and then it was like everybody here was like, and I was like,
we don't get
what
it.
What the fuck? And then I went back and watched it. I was like, I missed the most funny part of the fucking joke.
I've done that with callbacks before. Uh-oh. Like, I'll forget to set up the bit earlier in my set, and then later I'll do the callback and be like, and they're like, no, you don't.
Yeah.
That sentence means nothing to me.
I've done that a lot. So where do you get to that happy medium? Where do you get to the point where you're aware of your place in the world, but you're not so hypercritical that it's dragging you down?
I think that you recognize both the good and the bad if that makes sense. So, like, when you have shitty sets, you understand, I bombed. When you have mediocre sets, you say, okay, that was fine. That was a 6 out of 10. That set was fine. You know, I crushed. I got up there. I don't even really love saying...
So when you talk about that one, you're an East Lake 9 on that one?
Right,
that's
exactly.
A callback.
Exactly, right. So, and then you also recognize, you know, when you're in all lanes, you can't always think you're doing the best, or I'm the best at this, or I've always been... Whatever it might be, bartending, working, if you're a CEO of a company, like whatever.
Drinking goblets of wine.
I will drink every goblet of wine. One time we actually... Have you guys ever played Slap the Bag?
Yeah, like the Franzia with Franzia.
One time I chugged the whole thing. They opened a new one, and I slapped the bag, spun around, and you drink the whole. Basically, it's like the shittiest thing you can do to your body.
Please tell me you were like 24 or under.
Oh, definitely.
Okay,
yeah, this wasn't like last week.
No,
like,
I didn't think it was last week.
There used to be a party that happened like 3 times a year over in Avon Lake where everybody played Slap the Bag.
Really?
So I don't. Yeah.
No.
At Arena.
Was it at Joe Howard's house?
No, it was at Dave Arena's house.
He lives in Chicago now, but that's one of those things where I just New York. You're right. He wasn't. Was he in Chicago ever?
Arena? No.
No, always New York.
Yeah.
That was my fuck up. Thank you. That was awesome. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I think just finding that happy medium would be acknowledging both sides of it. Like, hey, I do well sometimes or I don't, or I'm only, say, for stand-up purposes. Right. I'm only 2 years into this, or I'm only a year into this, or I'm only 6 months into this. It's not time for me to be doing these things yet.
So you're talking about being self-aware.
Yeah that's yes. It. But that's just it. Just know where you stand. And I'm not to say that someone, like I said, okay, so a road dog who does 20 weekends a year, which is still every other. I mean, that's not terrible,
no.
But who's been doing that amount or less for someone who's doing every weekend of the year but has only been doing it 10 years, they might be better than you.
Yeah.
So it's not to say that someone who's been doing comedy 2 years, who's been on stage 6 nights a week, isn't at the same level as someone who's been doing comedy 5 years. I don't really think the time matters, to be honest with you. I think it's the amount of times you get up, the amount of times you practice, the amount of work you put into it. If you treat it like a full-time job and you're listening to sets and you're writing and you're going over your punchlines and how can I move this around in my set to make it flow better, if you're doing that and you're only 2 years in, hell yeah, man, you're ahead of the curve. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You should be getting MC work. You should be doing that. But when I have someone who's done 2 open mics come up to me and be like, hey, can I do 10 minutes on your show? I'm like, no.
No.
Because hit me up in 8 years when you have 10 minutes. Like, that'd be great. Like,
that's I was literally going to be like, no, nobody who's been doing it that long has 10 minutes.
But you think you do. I remember being a year and a half or 2 years in, like, I got 15. I got a solid 20
I remember Mary has 15, Mary.
Oh, you remember that, Mary, where it was like, I thought I was killing, and everyone else was like, this isn't very good. Like,
no, I thought you were good. I just remember when you were first working out that 15.
Yeah.
And you were selling it like you had that 15.
So you remember when Mary was delusional.
I was. You know what? The more we talk through this, I think that's where this complex comes from. Was being there and being a dick and thinking I was better than I was. And then realizing, like, oh, man, you're, like, the shittiest kind of person. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, meeting other people like that and it upsetting me so much. But I don't know if maybe, is everyone like that when they first start out? I don't know.
I remember when I first started out and there was other people starting out too that like, I mean, I don't do it very often anymore, but when I did, I was constantly doing open mics and stuff. But like, the other people that start around the same time as me is like, would come up to me and be like, hey, what'd you think of that? And it's like, I don't care. Like, you shouldn't care what I think about it. Why don't you analyze it yourself, you dumb fuck?
Of their set?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what did you think about it? I don't know, dude. We both started doing comedy 3 weeks ago. Why the fuck are you asking me questions?
Right.
Like, validation. I give a fuck what you do.
Well, one of the things that I like to encourage people to do, especially, I mean, I don't think you should ever stop, but especially as a younger comic, is to go watch professional shows. Go to Hilarities and watch. Go to The Improv and watch.
And don't ask to get in for free. Pay for it, you fucking
until
idiots.
Until they start to realize who you are, whatever it might be, or if it's a Wednesday. Day and you just hit up the manager and be like, hey, I would like to come back and watch.
Sure.
And they're going to appreciate it. And there's what, 100 people in there anyway,
right.
So it's not like you're taking up space.
No,
you know?
Exactly.
Pay for your drinks, tip the waiter, like, you know what, but it is so valuable to watch people who do this for a living who are headliners. So like in the last 7 or 8 months, I've started doing a lot of headlining road work.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll get to your head quick when you're like, this is my show. But then I'll work emceeing hilarities for these just A-list comics, and I'm like, oh, I'm not even fucking close to being a headliner. Right. And I think that that's so important to just go watch how real, true professionals do it, you know?
So do you remember last year when Bill Burr did Hilarities?
Yeah.
And I think he did three or four sets.
He did four. Two Tuesday, two Wednesday.
All right, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I went to the, I think it was the early show of the second day. Mm-hmm. And what he did for the first 25 minutes was I watched him, he took his phone out, his iPhone, you know, hit it record, put it on the fucking stool, and he just riffed for 25 minutes. And I was like, that's what every fucking person who has 30 minutes should be doing. Let yourself go out there and, like, if you have that validity that you can
If you're
do
Bill
that.
Burr.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, if you can go out there and, like, but that means he's still working. That means he's still trying
to get better.
And that dude is one of the best alive
now. For sure.
And he's like, no, I'm going to go out there and see what works. And that's how he builds his fucking jokes. Then he does his hour of hey, mm-hmm. this is going to be my next special.
Right.
But like,
I have to work on the timing of this shit.
I respect the fuck out of that. Like, he literally is like, he came out on stage and he was like, hey, I'm going to hit record on this and I'm just going to talk and see what happens. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I respected the fuck out of that because he's that fucking good. He's to that level.
Okay, so on a not that level, that's what you should be using open mics for.
Mm-hmm. Right.
People in the scene, if you're going to a weekly open mic, that's what you should be doing there. You shouldn't be doing jokes that you know work.
Right.
If you want to do like one at the beginning, one at the end, and sandwich the shit in the middle, because nobody likes bombing. I get that.
Right.
But like, if you're going to the same open mic, I use LVT as an example. Right. You know, if you
always.
Do, so you get 5 minutes. So if you do maybe like a minute of shit, you know, that works at the top and the bottom, that 3 minutes in the middle should be brand new shit.
Yeah.
It should be stuff you're working out. That's what those shows are for.
You know? And, you know, admittedly, my process is a little different because I'll write when I'm on stage at mics.
Yeah, that's just to let it all out and see how it sounds.
Yeah, because I have an idea. I want to sound it out and then get into the rhythm and see where it comes out.
But Jeremy, there's another thing called that for that. It's called therapy.
Dude, comedy is the cheapest therapy I've ever had. Maybe not. I've lost a lot of fucking money doing it.
Oh, she gets another
yay,
goblin.
More goblins. Thank you. I appreciate that.
There we go.
The Goblet of Santora sounds like the next Harry Potter book.
The Goblet of Santora. I just was looking into my future as a stepmom as I pour one glass of wine into the other.
I like how you said stepmom.
Oh, I'm not having kids. I'm going to get fucked up and marry a dude that I love, but he's got like two shitty teenagers. So
and
that's
you only
what's going
to
end
up
happening.
With them on weekends?
Yeah. I'm like, is it really this fucking? All right, well, I'm out of town. Sorry.
It's like,
so
what house
weird.
Do I belong to? Santora house,
right.
Bitch.
Grab your glass of Cabernet. Whatever.
Yeah, it's
that's exactly who I am.
Jeremy, what's it like being on stage with two alcoholics?
Okay, first of all, the first step is admitting it, and I haven't done that yet, so thank you.
I'll admit it for you.
No, I had a problem, which is why I stopped.
Are you sober?
Yeah.
Like 100%?
No, he still smokes weed. He's
okay,
sober.
I wouldn't even count that.
No,
hate... It's about to be legalized for my diagnosis anyway.
Hey, I thought you were going to say legalized for your diabetes. I was like, I don't think weed is
that
a...
That would be the opposite. Half of the weed treats cause diabetes. Yeah. Like you can't even...
Yeah, the gummies aren't good for your diabetes.
Gummies are my favorite.
I'll just take the almond milk. I don't think that has a lot of calories in it.
Maybe that's my delusion that I don't think I have a drinking problem. Well,
I can help you with your weed problem. If you like candy, I can help that.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm dead serious. I can make that happen for
you. Jesus Christ, Jordan.
Are we drug dealing on the podcast?
No, nobody said that.
Nobody
except
said
Mary.
That.
I did.
She's drunk, so don't listen to her.
I'm not drunk. I'm fine.
No, I'm trying to play it up.
Okay, yeah, I'm hammered. Oh, my God. I'm so
Come
drunk.
On, Mary. You know how to play drunk.
I am so drunk.
For more than 5 years.
Whatever.
Hey, I ain't making any money off this show. I might as well make it off Mary.
Come on. Right?
Oh, you monster.
Not even.
So
go ahead.
You first.
Nope, I got nothing.
You got nothing? All right. So it's getting to that happy medium where you're aware of where you're at and what you're capable of.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you become aware of that without somebody screaming at you like an asshole that you're doing something wrong, and then that person is cognizant enough to realize that opinion means something.
I don't know that I've ever... Have you had that moment? That seems like a very specific thing to say.
Well, it's... Okay. I don't know I'm doing something wrong. And then, you know, somebody is like, no, you're fucking up here. And until, like, that moment where somebody else pointed out, I was like, I had no idea. Because I was just completely blind.
So you're saying that being oblivious and being delusional are the same thing?
One can be related to the other. I think, you know, you can be oblivious as to what actually is going on, and it can cause you to do things that are delusional.
Oblivion to delusion.
Yes.
It's like the name of a record.
Should be.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I guess I don't know, because when I think about when you said that with someone screaming in your face, I blew up the bartender I mentioned at the beginning. I blew up on him not too long ago. And I went to my boss afterwards. I was like, you're probably going to have to fire me about the shit I just said. but it was one of those things where
you blew up on the guy and then you went to your manager?
Yeah, I said what I needed to say first.
Now I want to know this story.
No, it was just one of those things where it was another day where I see his name on the schedule. I'm like, God fucking damn it. Like, this is, I don't want to deal with this shit today.
Todd's here again.
Right, exactly. Like, fucking Derek. Like, it's just, you're slow and I feel like I have to pick up the slack for you. And then with that specifically in the service industry, if there's two bartenders on, typically you'll split the tips evenly.
Right.
But if I feel like I'm doing 75% of the work, I don't want to give you half of the money.
Right.
I don't think that that's fair. So it was like halfway through a busy lunch shift, and he was like standing in the back talking to the servers. And I came back and I was just like, hey man, we're not playing this game today. I was like, get your ass out here and do something or you're not getting half of the fucking money. And I said it in front of people, which is not okay. And I get
that. No, it is.
But it was one of those things where I snapped. I had 20 people sit down at once and I'm running my ass off. And I'm like, where the fuck are you at?
Yeah.
Like, you need to be out here.
But
this is the same person who will right in your face be like, I make the best old fashions. I'm like, nobody gives a shit. It takes you 23 minutes to make them. Like...
Was this to a point where, like, you have said these things to him before?
In passing. Hey, man, can you go greet 213? Hey, man, can you go over there? Can you clear that spot? Like,
so you
consistently
gave him your chance
having
before
to.
You blew the fuck up on him. Then that's on him. That's not on you.
But I'm saying
that's
it's on one
him.
Of those things where, is that what Jeremy's referring to? Until someone says, get your shit together.
Right. And, you know, is that what it takes to get on that even keel, or is there something that you can do yourself?
Did you have that in comedy? Did you have someone say to you, like, this isn't, or did you have a set that bombed or something like that?
No,
that was,
I've
like,
had sets that, like, I'm well aware of when I bomb, so that's the teacher that
That might
I need.
Be what I'm talking about, when someone bombs their ass off and is like, that's all right.
No, you can't, pretend that something didn't happen.
Right.
You can drink to forget that it happened.
Well,
that's what I used to
do. I got Red Fox drunk on Friday.
Oh, after, you got Red Fox.
I got Red Fox. After I couldn't, you can ask Josh Morrow, he was there. After I could not follow Brian, I was like, I'm going to talk to Jameson about this. And that's exactly what ended
you
up
got
happening.
Red Fox.
But I don't think that I had someone tell me, maybe it was the rejection of not getting on shows that I thought that I should be on, or. Go ahead.
I just remember, like, honestly, the kickstart that I remember is we stopped doing those shows at your bar, and then like 3 months later, you were doing a bunch of shit.
So you're saying that for me or for you?
For you, that's what I remember happening.
I think that was my first experience with having the same crowd over and over.
Yeah.
And that was my first experience with like, oh, you may have 10 or 15 minutes, but these people don't want to hear it 3 weeks in a row.
Right.
And that was like the first time that I was like, oh shit, maybe I'm not as good as I think I am. That actually might be pretty accurate.
Yeah, because I remember that.
That was like 14. I stopped working there in 2014. Mm. So that would have been about a year and a half into comedy. I started in February of 2012. So it was about 2 years into comedy at that point.
Yeah.
And that's probably pretty accurate. Why do you know my life better than me?
Because I don't drink.
Yeah. Okay. How many women have said that exact? How many women have said that exact same phrase to Jeremy Shear? Oh, why do you know my life better than me?
Because I don't drink. Now, Jeremy, why don't you answer the real question? When did you stop drinking?
Why did I stop drinking?
No. When?
When? I guess August.
I've seen you have a PBR.
August of 2016.
Yeah.
Good for you. Yeah. Thanks. Seriously, 2 years.
Yeah,
it's been
about 21 months now.
Good for you, man.
I mean,
Thanks.
You can clap for him all you want to, but he hangs out with me on like a weekly basis.
That's
so
fine. He needs to get. He needs.
One slice at a
There's
that is a big vice.
I honestly think I'm just his reminder of why he shouldn't drink.
Dude, I will tell you, another weekend. That's self-aware, exactly.
Thank you.
Exactly. There, the one weekend that really, really probably put it in perspective for me, and this was just recently, was a weekend in December at Hilarities where I hosted. There's a dude out of Michigan, out of Detroit, named Dave Landau.
Dave's amazing.
He is one of those people that you watch and you're like, get the fuck out of here. How are you so goddamn good? And he's not old. He's like mid-30s. He's not an old dude at all to be like doing, you know. And then Dave Attell headlined. And I sat there and I watched Dave Landau do a feature set, and I would definitely consider myself a strong feature.
Okay.
And I watched him and I'm like, I'm not even close to what this guy is. To watch someone who is an incredible headliner do a 25-minute set, it made me question where I belong, to be honest with you. And I get it that he's not a feature. Dave Landau's not a feature.
He is a headliner by all means necessary. How long has he been doing it?
He's probably at least 15 years.
Yeah,
and you've been what? You're 6 years in?
6 years in.
This isn't just has to do with comedy. It's with everything, in my opinion. Like, I'm one of those people that truly believes if you're not moving forward, you are moving backward.
Yeah.
There is no stagnant shit in the middle. If you are not constantly pushing yourself to get better, you're moving backwards. That guy's been doing it 15 years. You've been doing it 6. So the fact that you look at him and you're like, fuck, I thought I was a good feature. Just keep fucking pushing to do it.
The reason I brought that up, which just hit me now, is that Dave has been sober for like 9 years. He just posted on Instagram. It's been a long time because he had been arrested 13 times.
He put up his mugshot.
And then he's on the Artie and Anthony show. So people started turning his mugshot into memes. And it was, it's hilarious. You gotta check out his Instagram. But we were at that weekend, and it was one of the best weekends of my life, and I'm just getting housed after the shows because I'm, like, celebrating, you know? And Dave Landau, he would always look at me and be like, what you drinking? And I was like, oh, this is just a Tito's and soda, and this is a shot of Jameson. He's like, sounds good. Like, you know, because he's like, and he's like, I'm still an alcoholic. I still want to see people drink and have a good time. He's like, I just know that I can't do it, you know?
I give you credit on that. So you're drinking at Tito's and soda?
I chase my whiskey with vodka.
Honestly, I respect that.
Don't respect that.
No,
that's the least respectable thing about me.
You do, Mayor.
Have you ever had vodka wine?
No.
It's where you pour the jug of bottled vodka into the jug of wine and drink that until you can't feel feelings anymore.
Was Kamchatka Rossi? Is that what you're making right there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Albert Milton taught me about the vodka wine.
Mm-hmm. Carlo Goose?
There was no goose going in there.
No, that's Kamchatka for sure.
Nobody drinks good vodka.
I drink Tito's.
No, that's good vodka.
It's fine.
You wouldn't mix the two.
No, we did in college. We would make what was called pink panty droppers. I don't know if anybody's ever had that
before.
Pink
panty droppers?
Pink panty droppers. It was like part house party drink.
Right.
It was like those big ass sport Gatorade things.
And you would
pour in a case of beer.
You mean a bucket?
Yeah. Well, we're a bucket or a trash can, whatever you have readily available. Ours were we were cheerleaders.
I'm just trying to paint the pictures of people.
And so we would pour in a case of beer, 2 handles of plastic vodka, and then a 2-liter of pink lemonade. And then a Country Time pink lemonade powder mix.
Yeah.
And that's what people drink. And it was it'll fuck you up, but you can't really tell because there's so much like pink lemonade and sugar in it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Which gives you worse of a fucking hangover.
Yeah.
Like that's really pushes it over the
edge.
We
moved into an old lady house that had like white flowered carpet.
Oops.
And that was our like our homecoming, like welcome to our house party, and it was destroyed after that. Not even really from the drinks, from the vomit was really
the vomit
what it was.
What was Flo Rida there? Welcome to my house.
No, it was after that. This was the time of a lot of Usher was happening. Usher, it was so much Usher and Nelly. It was really
That's not a bad thing. I mean, if you're talking country grammar, Nelly.
Country grammar Nelly, yeah.
That's the good
I like
Nelly.
How Jordan has to specify what Nelly he likes. Like,
well,
matters.
You have to specify what Nelly you like because there's
Is there
only
Nelly
one
you
Nelly
don't
like? Yeah, everything after country grammar.
I think he didn't make anything after that.
No, he didn't. It's all real bad.
He made that My Boo. Oh, no, that was Usher. Whatever. Either way.
I'm just trying to be self-aware, you guys.
I'm self-aware enough to know that I shouldn't have said that they all look alike right there. So.
There it is. There's good for you, man.
And you want to know what? The crowd wasn't self-aware to catch that until you said it.
I didn't even hear it, to be honest with you. Yeah, but I mean, you can even take it into, you know, whatever, people who have crazy out there political views or religious views.
Or flat earthers.
Or flat earthers. Where I'm like, there's no way that science is giving you all this information. And you're like, man, nah, fuck it. Like, I can't believe it.
Can we get a show of hands? Are there any flat earthers in here?
There's no way.
And we won't completely berate you.
No,
are you seriously?
Not the participant.
All around the world.
No way. No one who will willingly shout, actually, false. Someone who will willingly shout out, this actually happened last time, I was at Hilarities. Dan Cummins does his tour, is called the Flat Earth Tour, okay? Saturday late show, I think it was, there was a dude who was incessantly shouting out in the back, and I just fucking annihilated him. I went in, I was so mean to him to the point
that... You got him so drunk?
I just was very, very mean, and that the management was upset with me.
I love watching you be mean to people.
It was... The manager came back and he goes, what the fuck was that? I was like, did he yell again? Because I'm pretty sure he didn't. But what had happened was I destroyed this guy. Him and his whole party was super pissed that I was, blah, blah, whatever. And then Dan Cummins...
We got made fun of by a comic.
After shouting out drunkenly. Then Dan Cummins goes up, does his first 10 minutes about flat earthers and how they're just out of this world. And they're just crazy people, and right. how could you believe this? And that guy and his whole table walked out because they were flat earthers. And I went to the manager afterwards, like, are you still pissed at me? Because
I won.
I think I picked the right one. I wasn't mad at the cute couple in the front row. Like, that guy had other issues, right. You know?
Like, he's a flat earther.
Well,
that's another level of delusion.
Yeah, faith, not only not being cognizant of what's going on, but faith can lead you to delusion.
And that's a good point, where you'll see situations differently how you want to because of the way that you believe, which actually is probably how a lot of comics think. You see things differently the way you want to because of how you believe. You believe I am a B or C level comic, and that's how I always perform. So that's what I should be getting, or this is the recognition that I deserve.
Yeah.
When it's not always true. I mean, it's the same thing with religion. I believe, you know, I'm a this person, this person, this person, so this is how the world should go for me. Because I'm a good Christian person and I treat people with respect, I'm going to get into heaven.
Pop those bubbles. Those are the bubbles I want to pop.
How do you do it? How do you do it without being offensive? How do you tell, like I said, when I blew up on that other bartender, how do you do it without, or like Jeremy said, is that what it takes to get through to some people?
I'm a firm believer on being a realist, and if you can't hack it with me on being a realist, if I offend you, that's your problem, not mine. Because there's going to be no ramifications that come back with that with me. Like, if I burst your bubble, I don't care. Like, it doesn't affect me in any way. It affects you.
I think that as long as you're being truthful.
No, that I'm not going to spout hateful, dumb bullshit for
yeah.
no reason.
Jordan, that's what we do on the podcast.
Stop it. But yeah, I mean, as long as you're
Stop
being
it
truthful.
Right now.
It's so funny because, like, the more I say it out loud, the more I'm like, oh, you speak your own truth or whatever that, you know. But it's also one of those things where it's like, at what point do you detach from reality to do it?
Yep.
You know, and I think that might be where my issues lie, is that it's like there's no way that you can actually, if I were to say, give me three reasons why you deserve this, or give me three examples of how you've worked to get this goal. If that person could do it and they were legitimate, then I'd be like, yeah, okay, you have a good argument.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that 90% of the people who are crazy people like that are like, because I want it or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
and wanting it's not enough.
I don't know.
No, delusion is, I mean, because delusion can come in more forms than one. Like, that's really like, oh, just because I want it more than you, or whatever their fucking specific circumstance is, doesn't mean you're not delusional. It doesn't mean, like, that you have something above everybody else. And it, like, now I'm just reverting back to what we were talking about at the beginning, is like, now names are running through my head, and And I'm just like,
but it's not necessary for us to like.
No,
get
and
in.
We don't have to. We don't.
No,
have
this,
to.
This is why because it apply. It's this is not just a one particular person has set off this hatred.
No, everybody does. And like I said, I think I've said it. This is the third time I've said it. I'm pretty sure this stems from me being that person mm-hmm. when I first started, and then moving forward, developing. And caring more, you know what I mean?
Right.
Going from taking this as something I'm kind of good at that's kind of fun to do with my friends to this is what I want to do forever. This yeah. is how I want to pay for a house. Mm-hmm. This, you know what I mean? Like thinking of it in a different business, like, yes, I need to be so good at this.
And that's also Mary being delusional.
Right, that this will actually pay for a house one day.
Not
right.
not so much.
Maybe an apartment.
Maybe an apartment. But like, I think it might have taken that mindset change and then to think of it as a career and then see people who are just, oh, God damn, that was me. Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean?
Do you also see people as fucking up your money?
What do you mean?
Meaning that you are so terribly delusional right now that being in the same room with you or being on the same show with you is fucking up my money.
No, I don't even, I'm not grasping what you're asking me.
Okay, so basically, somebody is not aware of their position and pushes their way in somehow because their delusion is that strong. Just by them and you being in the same room doing the same thing.
So like if someone's headlining that I think shouldn't be headlining.
Yeah.
So like someone's headlining that I think I'm better than. They're fucking up my money because I'm not headlining? Is that what you mean?
You're featuring that for somebody that, you know. Well, yeah. that's the thought, and I've seen it happen where they'll write the club afterwards and be like, the feature was way better. Why the fuck weren't they headlining?
I've had that happen. I've had that feeling, but it's one of those things where I think that so say you're in that position, and you get to a club or whatever it might be, and you're at a show, and in the feature spot, I do very well, and the headliner maybe doesn't. All I can do is do my best. And that might sound shitty or weird, but it's no. Like if I go up in the feature spot and I do incredibly well or I do as best as I can and I get a good reaction out of the club, the managers are going to see that. And they're hopefully going to bring me back as a headliner. So maybe, right. Yeah, this one night or this one weekend is annoying, but if you're going up and you're doing everything that you can to be the best person in that position, then people will recognize that, I would hope.
That's the hope. As long as people are being 100% honest with what's actually going on.
I wouldn't walk up to a manager of a club and be like, you need to headline me next time. Like, that wouldn't happen. But it would be one of those things where I would...
I was kind of hoping that's how you got the split headlining week with Pete.
Yeah, right. Dude, I was terrified to follow Brian. Like, when he was like, you guys are going to flip-flop, I'm like, oh, boy. Like, this isn't... You know what I mean? But it's one of those things that also pushes you to be better and yeah. things like that. But Pete offered us that on his own. After both of us featuring and doing well featuring and him kind nice. Of realizing, like, you guys have time and you have this and you have draw and, you know, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
But I think that... In that kind of a position, all you can really do is say, you know, if you're emceeing somewhere or you're hosting something and you feel like you should be moving up, then just, and this is a mindset that Brian has taken on, is just you just become unfollowable. Or it's just yeah. one of those things where it's like, okay, if you want me to feature, then I'm going to feature. Like, okay, like Dave Landa, like I said, he mm-hmm. does not belong in that feature set. But if that's right. what he got booked for, he's like, here's your 25 minutes. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
And it's going to be the best damn 25 minutes you ever heard.
I think that might be the ultimate goal for me, it should be for anybody, just to be undeniable. Mm-hmm. When someone brings up your name, like, oh, no, that person's a killer. There shouldn't be one person that's like, they're okay. And maybe that's where those delusional people are like, well, yeah, I'm a killer. And everyone's like, you're out of your fucking mind. No. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I don't know.
So that's where we're at. It's just...
Be self-aware and work towards just being the best that you can be, I guess. Is that like the army? Is that their thing too? You know?
Well, like, consider the army. We call non-comic civilians, yes.
I call non-comic civilians. People hate it.
They
you know
should.
Who hate that? Guys I try to date. That's that's who really hate that. Mm. You know, civilians don't really get it. They're like, excuse me? Like, are you a police officer? What are you saying right now?
Well, what are you supposed... Somebody I knew called them muggles.
Muggles. That's really funny.
It was adorable.
My sister is obsessed with Harry Potter, so she would definitely appreciate
that.
Is my mom. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Your mom's not obsessed with anything.
Yeah, well, it's hard to be obsessed when you're dead.
Facts are facts, dude. Facts. Whatever.
She probably really cares about, like, landscaping.
Maybe your mom's a Dementor now.
Maybe. That would be, that probably what, it's, as long as she got to dement Catholics, that would be what she wants to do. All right. Mary, where can we find you on the internets?
I'm at Mary Santora Comedy on Instagram and Mary_Santora on Twitter. And that's where I push people.
So go
Don't
there.
Request me on Facebook because I'm not going to accept you.
Also, go listen
to... Oh, Marjorie, that's okay. I know you as a person, but, like, strangers who... we have no mutual friends, and your picture is, like, a meme of a dog. Like, no, I'm not accepting you as my friend.
Go listen to Chris Paw's new record, Apocalypse Now.
Apocalypse. I still have... I think I have a thing in my car for
on
him.
On iTunes, or you can buy a physical copy from him, or you can listen to it. Well, right now it's iTunes. It's going to be out on everything else soon, as soon as the company gets their shit together.
I plan on changing that so it's Fat Fucking Pig Faggots of Fat Fucking Pig Faggotless Now.
So. That was, yeah. The,
boo.
Yeah. I mean,
boo this man. Boo. Sorry, guys.
Look, that is a long-running Chris Paw joke, and I don't care if you don't like
aware.
It.
I don't
it doesn't
care.
Have the same ring to it.
No, it doesn't.
It might catch on.
We'll see what happens. I just know it's going to make Chris mad. That's what makes me happy.
Good.
Jordan, I don't think we're going to find anybody that hates delusional people as much as Mary Santora.
No.
I hate them.
There is another. I won't apologize again. I'm a rapid offender. You can see right through my skin. I don't care about making mistakes. I keep standing up and falling on my face. Feed me nothing ages. Drag me to the ring. Another discharge vapor. Diagnosis drunkenness. I keep a bruise in my brain and under the punches.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.